Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gokaldas Exports 1Q FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Binay Sarda of Christensen IR. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mohsin. Good morning to all the participants on this call. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our business risks that could cause future result performance or achievement to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Please note that we have mailed the results in the presentation, and the same are available on the company's website. In case if you have not received the same, you can write to us, and we'll be happy to send the same over to you. To take us through the results and answer your questions today, we have the top management of Gokaldas Exports Limited, represented by Mr. Sivaramakrishnan Ganapathi, Managing Director, and Mr. Sathyamurthy, CFO. We'll start the call with a brief overview of the quarter gone past and then conduct Q&A session. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Siva. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Burgeoning order book, bereft factory, lockdown unleashed, deliciously unsavory, a quiet pandemic, a raging calm, a dark shining light, a serene storm, a working contradiction, a lovely mess, almost broken, yet flawless. Good morning, everyone. Happy to have you at our earnings call for the eventful first quarter of FY22. Welcome to a season of contradiction. We had a strong order book and a severe production constraint. The company had one of the best opportunities this quarter and yet announced a small loss of 2.6 crores on a total income of 243 crores and EBITDA of 20 crores. The second lockdown, particularly the one imposed in Karnataka between April 29th and July 4th, 2021, was more brutal than the previous Q1. We displayed our real potential by successfully aligning our customers, stepping up our production within the constraints, and working on creating additional capacities. We had to carry a huge inventory of raw material meant for the planned production, support a large manpower on standby to ramp up production at short notice, and effectively manage our cash flow well. We did everything to come out unscathed. However, I am not here to talk about the lockdown in the past. I'm here to talk about where we are now and the prospects. Post easing of restrictions from July 5, 2021, we have stepped up production to peak levels and are working towards clearing the order backlog at the earliest and ramping up the business for continued growth. We are maintaining a robust order book for the next 6 months, which is at an all-time high. All our customers are seeing growth in their businesses. We, with a consistent delivery track record and a strong product development capability, our customers see us as a partner vital to their future. Our largest market continues to be the U.S., where monthly apparel store sales continue to be more than pre-COVID level for 4 months in a row now. Year-to-date sales in 2021 is 75% higher than 2020 and 2% higher than 2019. Augurs very well for us. Online sales of clothing and accessories is also continuing its momentum and growing strongly in 2021, with sales registering 50% growth over pre-COVID 2019 level. European Union apparel import data also indicates that 2021 is catching up with 2019 levels steadily. On the supply side, China has been losing share continuously over the years, and this has accelerated in recent times. COVID has been wreaking havoc in several producing countries like Vietnam, Cambodia, and Bangladesh. India, with its large population, offers a route to diversification for large buyers to de-risk supply chain disruptions. Government of India recently announced continuance of RoSCTL up to FY24. This provides policy clarity to exporters over the next 3 years, helping the growth of the sector. PLI scheme supporting MMF-based exports could also provide additional support to growth. the government has resumed discussions on FTA with Europe. This could be an opportunity to support labor-intensive textile exports from the country. All of these point to a sustainable advantage for the textiles industry in India. Turning specifically to the company, we are in the process of clearing the backlog from Q1 and gearing up on fall holiday season orders and spring summer seasons ahead. In order to meet these requirements, we have ramped up our manpower in existing units to the maximum possible levels. We have started pre-commercial runs in our new Tumkur unit and plan to ramp it up to full capacity by end September, early October. This will add about 4.25% to our existing capacity. We are completing the formalities for a new unit in Bhopal where we intend starting construction work shortly. This will contribute to an incremental 6.5% capacity. We are also scouting for additional lease capacity to meet with business requirements. We intend exploring options in Bangladesh for growth as well. We are also working on improving productivity levels in the factories, which will help realize another 4% of capacity. All these efforts will help unlock growth options for the company in the near future in line with market demand. We intend sustaining this growth over the next several years as we see strong growth for the industry and a particularly good opportunity for Gokuldas Exports with its manufacturing track record and diversified customer base and capabilities. The company plans to build upon our FY21 performance and improve the margin while delivering growth in FY22. The company has built the operational talent and capability to capitalize the opportunities and stay focused on being a leading manufacturer that is sought after by top global apparel brands. We are clear on our goals and aware that it's not the obstacles on the path, but the availability of clear paths to lesser goals that we need to be wary of. I thank you for listening and would be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Mukesh Savla from Shah and Savla LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Are you audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on at least good set of numbers in a very challenging time and especially strict lockdown in Karnataka. Sir, my first question is whatever production lost we suffered in Q1, do you think the entire loss of Q1 can be recouped in Q2 by way of several measures you explained just now?
So that is the intention. We will, you should remember that a lost time is always difficult to recoup, but we are doing everything in our power by augmenting capacity, working overtime, and improving our efficiency to make up for all the lost time. So our intention is to recoup as much as possible of the lost orders, lost deliveries, which we have deferred to Q2, and make up for it in the next two quarters, through our incremental efforts.
Okay. So that's really encouraging. And sir, as our past scheme of ROSCTL has been resumed, and you said that you have considered that even with respect to the past quarter, that means March 21 quarter also. So may we know what is the quantum of that incentive related to March 21 quarter?
So the March 21 incentive that we considered in Q1 was about 4 crores, a little over 4 crores.
Yes. And current year you have taken as per whatever percentage we were eligible for.
That is correct.
Perfect. And sir, anything else kind of one time in the current result, maybe on the income side or maybe on the expenses side, apart from this ROSCTL?
2 crores ECL provision.
No, nothing. Nothing specific. Of course, we carried a heavy inventory cost because we had stocked up for full production in Q1, considering where we were. And we also carried a large labor cost because the labor were available, and though we didn't have production, we had the cost to bear.
Okay. That's helpful, sir. Thank you very much and all the very best, and hope to, you know, regain the lost production loss and we come back to our growth trajectory.
Correct. If you look at my this Q1 versus the previous Q1, you would see that my labor cost has gone up by over 11 odd crores. So that's incremental, you know, while we are still operated at similar capacity levels.
That
gives you an idea.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So what kind of scenario are we seeing in the industry after the COVID crisis in terms of, like, how our customers' procurement strategy has changed for, like, if we supply to H&M? So how has their supplying sourcing strategy changed, or and how do you think it's permanent kind of a change? So what are the changes you are seeing now versus pre-COVID?
So this is an evolving situation. So you must be aware that currently Bangladesh is under a lockdown, and Vietnam is facing a raging pandemic. Even in parts of China, the COVID pandemic is raging. Cambodia is facing problems. So it's not just an India problem. It's a global phenomenon, or largely a phenomenon in the entire producing base of countries. So this is evolving. I believe that suppliers would like to diversify their sourcing from across multiple countries. And India being a very large country with regional variations in, you know, COVID-related impact and all of that would really augur well from such de-risking moves by customers. And it is important for us as suppliers to also try to diversify our production base, particularly within the country and then eventually globally as well, so that we align ourselves with customers' requirement for minimal disruption going forward.
So, but are we seeing any consolidation, like the bigger suppliers or bigger, larger companies like ours will gain more market share going forward after the COVID crisis? Are we seeing some kind of supply chain realignment on that side?
Absolutely, and I have maintained that in several conference calls before as well, that we have been a beneficiary of supplier consolidation. If you look at FY21, our export sales fell by about 8 to 9%, whereas the global demand fell by close to 25% or even higher. So effectively, we have gained share in a decreasing market by consolidating other suppliers. So when my customers' demand fell drastically, my demand did not fall because I took away the share from other suppliers. And that's how Gokuldas has taken a step forward during the COVID year. And now going forward, when we are growing and when the market is growing, we are starting from a higher level and ramping up from where we are. That's why it's imperative on us to augment capacity to keep pace with growth, starting on a higher platform that we found, you know, that we got ourselves to at the end of FY21.
Okay, sir. Also, like, a lot has been mentioned about the China Plus One strategy, and there's a ban from Chinese cotton which is going on since a while now. So, and we have, we as a country have benefited also. So is this like a structural change you see in the industry going forward, or maybe a transitory one? Like,
so,
what's your take on it?
So, you know, some of these are structural because, you know, the fall of China share has been going on for the last 5-6 years. So it is not because of the ban of Xinjiang cotton which has actually led to it. All of these moves only exacerbate China's, you know, situation and presents an opportunity for others. The cost of labor in China is high. The trade war with China is real and is being continued by the Biden administration of the U.S. The specific ban on cotton from that particular province hurts China because that's a big cotton producing center for China and impacts cotton-based exports from China. So all of these are more long-term in nature and would, you know, augur well for other countries like India, Bangladesh, Vietnam, Cambodia, and I think we are all seeing the benefits as well.
Okay. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Gunjan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Good performance despite challenging times and good to hear that your order book is strong. A few questions. So I want to clarify ROSPL rate for all your product segment is around 3.5% if I'm not mistaken?
That is correct. It's in that region.
Right. And Q4, you had provided 2%, so that 4 crores is incremental 1.5% which was not provided, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Second question, sir, you mentioned about increase in labor, so which is also indicating a strong order book. Can you quantify some numbers there?
What was your last question on labor? Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Sir, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that you have added further labor to your existing workforce. So if you can quantify the number there, how many people you have added?
So currently we are, you know, we are at about 24,000 odd numbers. We've added about 2,000 plus people in the last, you know, in the month of June.
Okay, and this addition has happened because of the Tumkur unit or the existing plants you are adding people?
No, existing plants were adding people in the month of July. What I meant was the month of July. So in the existing plants have been adding people. We post onset of COVID last March, we saw a lot of labor force, you know, going away, not willing to come back, you know, fearing, you know, the pandemic. And we did not fully recover to pre-COVID levels. It's only in July that this year onwards that, you know, we have started really picking up post the second wave of COVID that we have started getting a lot more people in every factories and we have added fairly substantially in all the units. We've also, as I mentioned, started a new unit in Tumkur. So there also we have begun adding people. And this trend will continue as we are under pressure to deliver the backlog from Q1. So we are working hard to augment people in all our factories wherever there is capacity growth possible.
Sure. And sir, there were no cancellation of orders. Just because of the lockdown related issues, the clients have understood that and just postponed the dispatches, right? Or you lost few orders also?
So, no, we have not. But wherever possible, and a very large proportion of that was possible, we deferred those orders to largely Q2 so that we could manage whatever capacity we had in Q1 to deliver those which were unmovable. Having said that, we had a fairly full Q2 as well. We had to realign some of the Q2 orders as we could not accommodate all the spillover orders from Q1 to Q2. And we did not want a situation where we default in Q2 because our customers will not give a relaxation on delivery dates for Q2 orders. So we had to pass up some small quantities of orders in Q2 in order to accommodate a huge spillover coming from Q1 so that we could realign everything.
Sure. And so my last two questions are on the industry related. A lot of news these days are coming from Europe, and they are trying to impose some sanction or because of the baptism law on Pakistan and all that. So have some client-specific inquiries started to substitute or replace or add Indian supplier if there are disruptions on Pakistan supply to Europe? One specific question. Second question, in your slide, basically you have given that China is continuously losing market share, but in the same slide, we see Bangladesh gaining most of them. So if you can give some instances where US or European clients have added Gokaldas or India as an alternative client to China losing market share, because it may be the case that the market has gone up and your same client has given you new business. So can you give some trends here where you have won new clients or some clients have substituted the Chinese supplier or a Pakistani supplier to Gokaldas?
So you've asked two questions, one related to Pakistan and one related to China. So the Pakistan move is a very recent one, and European Parliament has proposed it. It will take a while before it takes effect. Pakistan is not a very large exporter, but nevertheless is a cotton-based exporter, and those opportunities will come India way, because we have the ability and the opportunity to deliver some of those. The bigger opportunity always is from China, and Gokaldas in particular has been a recipient of orders which were hitherto being produced out of China. So we have got several orders which were China-centric orders to ourselves, and we continue to see that trend. We've also, added quite a few new customers in the recent past, and those customers have also been pushing more orders towards us. I mean, some of the recent customers that we added, recent as in the last 1 or 2 years, were like Marks & Spencer, Bestseller, TJ Maxx, Walmart, etc. And some of those are also, pushing orders towards us. We are also in advanced discussions with certain customers, and only because of pandemic, there has been a marginal delay, but we have in a fairly advanced stage where we may start production soon with a new customer of a sizable volume. So all of these are trends, emerging from decline in China, the trade war with China, etc., and an opportunity to produce elsewhere. Now, whether India grows or Bangladesh grows, it really doesn't matter. Specific companies within the country will always, opportunistically take advantage of the situation and grow. So while India has grown in the last few years by, a percent or two in terms of market share, I think Gokaldas will see a much higher opportunity coming out of this. As we have been able to consolidate several other suppliers, we are viewed as a supplier of choice by many of our customers, and we are in an advantageous position to take benefit of this.
Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot for the update. I'll come back later for more questions.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Batliwala and Karani Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes,
please,
Prerna,
go
ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a good set of numbers. So wanted to understand your revenue mix with respect to difference between cotton and man-made based garments. What would be the revenue share between the two?
Sure. So our man-made fiber-based garment will be between 35% and 40%.
Okay. And I wanted to understand that you added 2,000 people in the month of July. Is it that we had certain capacities, or will it add more capacity to existing plant?
No, so we kept losing some capacity as well because of lack of people, which we got back in the post second lockdown. And now we are also trying to see if we can, you know, augment some capacities in our existing factories by adding certain lines or building additional sheds. So as to maximize the utilization in our existing unit. So that's an ongoing activity which we are trying to maximize at the to the highest level possible. While incremental growth will all come from new units that we are planning.
Okay, so it will be very helpful if you could help us understand what will be the peak revenues from the new units and from existing units. So it helps us understand the potential that can be reaped in the next medium term horizon.
So we just commissioned, we just started pre-commercial trials in our Tumkur unit, and the peak revenue of that unit would be about 80 crores, the annual revenue. We intend starting work in Bhopal very shortly. This is the construction work of our factory, which hopefully will get ready by Q4. And the peak revenue there, I had mentioned that it will be about 6.5% capacity, but the peak revenue there would be about 150 crores from that unit. So these are two ones. We are also scouting for additional facilities, and as and when we get those and we get an understanding of the scaling, we will bring those online as well. So it will be in that, you know, about 80 to 150 crore range depending on the capacities that we get.
Okay, and these capacities are also further scalable the way you are doing in your existing capacity, like adding new...
That is correct. And both of these, particularly the Bhopal one, we will do a phase two, which is of a similar capacity. In Tumkur also, once we complete ramp up, we may consider additional capacities there.
There is additional land available in the existing
unit. That is correct. That is correct.
Okay, and so you also mentioned about expanding beyond India and mentioned Bangladesh. Could you help us understand whether Bangladesh is a very much investable geography, and is cost structure wise their market share anyways is higher for US and Europe? So do you think it is a much more cost competitive region as compared to India, and would help us, better our financial performance or order book size, as Bangladesh is being viewed as one of the promising nations for incremental garment orders?
So it is. And, for the last several years, that region has grown. It has got a very thriving apparel ecosystem with talent pool, middle management, technical skills, and customer base located there. So it is an opportunity spot, sweet spot for anybody in the apparel industry. We are exploring options at the moment. We are far from concluding anything at this point in time, but we are actively exploring options there, and we will update as and when some of these fructify.
Okay. And so, last question.
Sorry to interrupt. May we please request you to return to the queue for your follow-up question, as we have several participants waiting.
I just had last question, if I can take that.
All right. Go ahead.
Sir, with respect to pass on RM cost, now that, the raw material cost has been increasing for across commodities, so is it, is the pass on of raw material cost happening with the customers, or how are the dealings happening?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sunil Kothari from Unique Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And sir, congratulations to you and your team. Since you joined, you are fighting each and every challenges and trouble, which originally was because of old management, and now this is because of COVID. So really a great job, your team.
Sir, my
question is... with this ROCL reinstallation and ramping up of capacity, I think revenue possibilities quarterly is more than, I think, 350 crore. So you always you in past you guided around 1,300-1,400 crore revenue possibility and peak revenue target and double digit EBITDA margin. So with this incentive, with now good order book and with all this reinstallation of factories and manpower, can we achieve annual run rate of around 1,500 crore with 10-11% of EBITDA margin?
So while I don't want to give specific numbers, what you indicated is definitely in the doable realm.
Right, right. So with this incentive, that becomes little easier, or it can we can talk about maybe higher margin also.
So see, margin improvement is an ongoing target, and year on year we will be improving our margin. So currently we are working on a margin improvement in FY22 or FY21, and that is something which we are committed to, and we are working on, and we will do it. This is despite the fact that new capacities which are coming on board may serve to depress some of the margins to the extent that the new capacities come, as they will be underproductive for the first 6 months, 6 to 9 months, as they ramp up and as they achieve their peak productivity levels. So despite all that, I think at an overall basis, we will still be ahead in terms of our margin, and we will do better than the previous year. So that is something which we are committed to, and we will deliver. As far as revenue growth is concerned, since we are bringing all these capacities on board, and you have a good inkling of the percentages that we are talking about, the incremental capacities will definitely lead to an incremental revenue. We are not challenged from an order standpoint. We are challenged from a capacity standpoint, and we are doing everything in our power to augment capacity so that we are able to deliver higher revenue. So we are confident that we will deliver those higher revenues that we are talking about. I am more bullish than I was earlier on revenue growth.
And sir, this strategy of little scattered facilities, one is Bhopal, Tumkur, we have very much in Bangalore. So how difficult it is to manage this scattered in a different state also? Can you just provide your logic and just understanding that why we are following this type of system?
So we need to diversify our production base in order to de-risk ourselves. We need to also seek lower cost locations as we keep expanding, so that the incremental revenue comes at an incrementally higher margin and are sustainable well into the future. I do not want to put a lot of capex in high cost locations. So some of these new locations have been selected in such a way that they will come eventually, when it reaches full capacity, they will come at a much higher margins for us, as their cost structures are lower. Secondly, we have evolved a manufacturing capability which will allow us to remote manage a factory very effectively from wherever we are. We have delegated the factory management, and we have improved our systems and processes to such a level that each factory can self-manage and address the customer's requirements and work at peak productivity levels. So we're confident that we don't need all those factories within our vicinity and within a certain distance from Bangalore in order to manage them. We have evolved to a level where today, regardless of where the factory is, I'm confident that I can run it very effectively.
Oh, great, really good. And sir, my last question is to Mr. Satya. Sir, what will be the possibility of paying tax during the year? And second is on the way we are reducing debt, our interest burden should be hopefully lowering from this 10 crore per quarter. So if you can guide on tax and interest cost.
So our carry forward income tax carry forward loss, we have almost close to 64 crores. So for the financial year FY22, we do not anticipate any tax outgo at this point of time. So for the next year, we may get into the tax bracket in the next year. Coming back to the interest cost, it has two components. One is the regular interest, other one is the Ind AS interest reclassification. So we have 7 crores is the interest, which is normal interest, and 3 crores is on account of Ind AS. So with, given the current utilization and the increased volume, we anticipate we will be able to operate slightly around this level and slightly a little more over this level because of the increased volume for this current year.
Correct. Thanks a lot, sir. Wish you good luck. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Keval Asher from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for the good performance in FY21, even due to some uncertainties. Sir, I had a few questions. So first is regarding, we've seen volatility in our business over the past few years, and now we are forcing sustainable growth for the next few years. So, sir, what has changed on the ground for us? If you can throw some insight.
So you know, the change is really consistency in operations of the company. And consistent delivery to our customers have proven to our customers that, you know, we are a very dependable supplier to them. So come any challenge, come any difficulty, we have been meeting our targets. Even through humongous COVID disruption through last year, our on time in full was close to 99%. And prior to that, we had reached almost 99.7%. So this is a stellar track record from a customer's perspective. Most of our customers have, over the years, upped their quality standards. Today, for many customers, we are delivering at AQL1, where their standards were AQL5, moving to AQL2.5, then to AQL1. So we have taken all of these changes in our stride, upped our quality standards significantly, upped our delivery standards and reliability to such high levels that automatically customers are coming to us. Today, I am not going in marketing much to our customers. You know, our delivery speaks for itself. So this is one point. Our customer diversification strategy has also helped, because today we have a very large number of big customers whom we are focused on, and the opportunity landscape there is very, very large. So we can grow with each one of them to levels where, you know, we won't have capacities to deal with them. Third, we've also done a lot of product development, enhance our capabilities. So if you can see how we have over the last two, three years, ramped up our outerwear capacity, leveraging the incremental capacity that we have in Q1 and Q2, brought in those kind of technical skill sets and ability to produce new complex products, has also helped in product diversification, thereby bringing ability to participate in a larger opportunity pool. So all of this has helped us to effectively take on better opportunities, better margin products, and execute well to the satisfaction of our customers. So that's what has changed. That's what has brought in reliability. COVID-related disruptions, in my opinion, are all short-term, and we will tide over that, pass over that. What's real is some of these core capabilities that the company has. In addition to that, some tailwinds which come towards India and come towards specific operators in India are always helping us in accelerating forward. Hope I answered your question.
Great to know that. So next thing I wanted to know is, if you can throw some light on the opportunities that we are exploring in Bangladesh.
See, it's early stage now, so we will let you know as and when we get to that. We are always open to looking at options wherever we can expand capacity quickly and expand capacity at a relatively lower cost. So from that perspective, this opportunity becomes important. We are evaluating if and when we close that, we will update you. But that's I wanted to let you know that's on the agenda.
Sure. Thank you, and all the best for the upcoming years.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations on coming out stronger through the COVID times. So my first question, Shiva, is that what is the growth in the order book year over year? If you can just give us some sense of that.
All I can say is that the order book is at its best at this point in time. It is, it has grown significantly from what it was last year, same time to this time. We have, as I said, it's not the order book which is a constraint anymore. It's the capacity which is a constraint. So we are working hard on, you know, bumping up the capacity to deliver higher revenue numbers.
Okay. And then among the, you know, top five customers that we have, what has been the growth in that revenue? If you can just quantify that or give us a sense. I would assume the penetration level is very low for us in those five accounts. So perhaps you can just talk about the growth from those five accounts.
So the new accounts are obviously growing at a much faster pace. And I think currently they form about 15 to 18% of our revenue, and which was you know non-existent 2-3 years back. And at this moment, when I'm looking at the order flow from some of these customers, it is fairly buoyant, and you know should assume a larger percentage. But we are also in a unique situation where our existing large volume customers are also pushing more and more orders to us. So you know, we have to manage our customer relations with our given capacity. So we are handling that as carefully as possible.
I see. And I know you were betting big in the U.S., among the U.S. clients. So with this change in Europe, are you thinking now going back into the European market in a meaningful way?
So you know, these changes have to happen. We always have a foot in the European door. And we intend to keep it that way. We will continue to serve the US, European market, lest we, you know, completely get out of it. So we are, you know, we will be there, and we want to keep it at a level where, you know, we keep opportunistic growth in sight, but we will continue to focus on the US market where we see better margin opportunities for ourselves.
Right. And my second last question is on the domestic versus exports. So what is your commentary on the domestic market? Is it getting any better or is it still in a funk?
So you know, we kind of exited the domestic market completely, and we're not tracking that as much. I believe that, you know, post-pandemic, there will be some small resurgence in the domestic market, but, you know, we have chosen not to participate in the domestic market anymore.
Okay. And my last question is just on the supply side. So are you thinking about expanding beyond Bhopal and Tumkur within India, or you are going to, you know, after phase two in Bhopal, just try and build up more over there? What's the thinking, given that what you were saying, that folks are looking for more distributed supply now?
Good question. You know, if Bhopal is successful, then definitely we will build more in and around that location so that, you know, we reach a critical mass in that location. Having said that, in order to prioritize speed of execution as well, we are also looking at leased capacities in the south of India so that, you know, we can quickly bring them up to speed to meet the demand. And we are actively looking at some of those options as well. To bring up additional capacity. So yeah, all options are open from a capacity standpoint. We would like to have a good balance of low cost locations and those which offer time to market.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Next question Hello. Is from Nishid Shah from Ambika FinCap Consultants. Please go ahead. Nishid Shah, your line is unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. This is Drew here. I have a question on the China opportunity. So in your presentation on page number 20, you have shown that China is now only 20% of the U.S. apparel, right? So how low can it go from here?
Very difficult question to answer. You know, it's a good question, but a very difficult question to answer as there are multiple elements at play here. China is a fairly vertically integrated country with, you know, with you know, the entire value chain being present there, and they're very, very efficient, particularly upstream. The garment production is the high cost part for them and is increasingly getting out of China. So now, after a steep fall over the last 2 years, where, you know, they've almost fallen by 10%, particularly to the US, I think the fall may be a little more gradual going forward. Last 2 years fall has been largely related to all the trade war related issues. If you can see China's share into Europe, their fall has been a little more gradual, and in the last 2 years they have fallen by about 2%. So US is a larger market, which is a market that we are targeting, and that's where China has fallen sharply. In Europe, over the longer term they have fallen, and over the shorter term they have fallen less, as they might have pivoted a little more to Europe. I don't think, you know, we can put a number to it that easily, given all the dynamics of different countries. COVID also could play a role in some of these, depending on how challenged some of the other manufacturing countries are, like Vietnam, Cambodia, and even Bangladesh to some extent, as all these countries are now facing a fairly strong resurgence of COVID and manufacturing is impacted. So over the short term, maybe, you know, it will be a little hold kind of situation, but over the medium to long term, they will gradually ease off. That's my read of the situation.
Right, sir. So my question pertains to, if we are not backward integrated, what advantage will we have X of COVID, once the COVID is out, against the likes of Bangladesh and Vietnam?
So Bangladesh is not backward integrated. India is. India has a thriving spinning, weaving, to fabric processing industry, particularly on the cotton side, which is our strength area. So India is fairly backward integrated. Bangladesh isn't. Bangladesh still largely depends on fabric from India or China for their needs. So to that extent, India is in an advantageous position. We have very good, you know, cotton fabric, viscose fabric producers, and those are the ones where, you know, we are working with also to do some more product development, so that we can displace certain products which were hitherto available only in China. So all of those work are going on, and I think, you know, India with its integrated play will definitely have an advantage.
So, sir, any of our capacity is coming from backward integration, or is just for the end product?
For the moment, we are only looking at apparel manufacturing, and capacity augmentation is only from that side. But we do have long-term relationships with our suppliers, with our large fabric suppliers, and we have a fairly strong relationships where we work with them on you know, supplying end products to our customers. So you know, do a lot of product development, jointly pitching for business, etc.
Right. And so, if you can just give a number, how has U.S. apparel imports has been growing? I can see the 3 years number, but if you can just give a holistic, how has the CAGR been over the last 4-5 years?
I will have to get back to that. I
need to know the size of.
Sure, I think we can handle this offline, because I don't know. I don't have the 4-5 year CAGR in hand. As in when you know, we can handle this offline, and I can provide that for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Most of my questions have been answered. I just have a couple of more ones. Could you give us some guidance on how the raw material has been moving and how our gross margins are going to be for maybe this year?
See, raw material prices are largely passed through for us. When we book an order, we factor in what the raw material prices are and factor into our order, and then decide to take the order if we feel comfortable at the final pricing that we get. So you know, as you are aware, while yarn prices have gone up sharply, fabric prices haven't, you know, gone up that much. So we having a good long-term relationship with our fabric suppliers, we have long-term contracts with them, which allows us to get a better pricing. And wherever possible, we have pushed back and passed on the prices back to our customers. So I don't foresee too much of a raw material problem. You know, whatever little we may have, we will get it absorbed and still deliver the margins. So it may not be a big factor for the moment.
So, is there any lag in passing through the raw material prices to our clients, or is it just instant?
It's instant, because when I book an order, I do all the costing and then pass on the pricing accordingly.
Okay.
And I then back to back secure the raw material for that particular order.
Right. So do we have a number on our CapEx figure for the year?
So our current plan was working on 120 crore CapEx for FY22 plus FY23. We might try to stick to it, but if all things go well, we may even breach it by FY22. We will see how it goes.
All right. And so do you have any number in mind, a certain CAGR figure at which you want to grow, say, for the next 3 years?
So all I can say is that, there are many dynamics at play here and many opportunities that are coming our way. So I don't want to put a number at the moment. All I can say is that it will be strong and growth will be good in the next 3 years.
Okay. And so our new capacities, both of them should be completely, next year will be completely visible in our numbers, right? That's right, like a look at it.
That is correct. As and when these come up, they take about 3 to 6 months before it reaches certain level of proficiency, these factories.
Yeah.
It takes 3 months to ramp up and another 3 to 6 months to reach that full level of proficiency. After that, it starts reflecting fully on the numbers. In the interim, it will start reflecting on our numbers. So, for example, our Tumkur will start reflecting on our numbers. Very, very small reflection you will see in Q2, but more in Q3 and Q4. Mm-hmm. And next year, it will be fully reflected. So on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, just to understand, you have anyway sounded, bullish than what you were earlier. But just from a structural point of view, in the textile last call, you indicated that almost 100 crore kind of investment can fetch, 4x kind of revenue and margins in the tune of 10%, on potential basis. So that number gives, two and a half years of payback, without considering the working capital and the taxation requirements. So can you guide on that front that how, these numbers will play out over a near to medium term perspective when we talk about the payback period for our incremental investments that we will put in this sector?
So incremental investments depend on whether we go for a full greenfield unit or a leased capacity, and that's why we are going for a combination of leased and greenfield. Greenfield takes time to fructify. Greenfield lease facilities are slightly lower capex, so there is a bit of a dynamic on account of that. But by and large, when you look at the capex that we are talking about and you look at the asset, the revenue turns that you can get on those investments, you can make your math and figure out what kind of growth we are targeting. Some bit of the 120 crore capex is also for upgrade of our existing investments or existing plant and machinery. I think that would be about 25 to 35 crores, and the rest will be for new capacity. And as I said earlier as well, if the opportunity arises, we will go for additional new capacities with additional investments too. And you can do your revenue math and EBITDA math based on that.
Okay. So when you, last quarter, when you given this number, it is on the greenfield or on the brownfield side, this 90 crore which you're going to put up? Means that includes land cost also, or for the last call when you indicated this 90 crore of fresh investment, are we including land cost also in this, or we are not including the land cost when we
get given this combination? As I said, Bhopal has a land cost, but most of these land costs are smaller. It is the building cost which will be more significant in that. But nevertheless, I have included both. So I have included a combination of lease plus greenfield in this 90 crores.
Okay, lease plus greenfield. So as a thumb rule, sir, what we should, work with? I'm just asking a thumb rule. Suppose for a greenfield project that you take up, what sort of investment and what sort of revenue, that as a thumb rule we can consider? Just because the dynamics of the sector are changing, so these questions are emerging.
So a greenfield will, on an average, say as a thumb rule, take about 40 crores, you know, and will yield a revenue of about 150 odd crores.
Okay, so this rule 1:4 is okay. So 1 rupee if you put, you'll get 4 rupees kind of revenue, just 10% kind of margin.
Yes.
Okay, and sir, one more thing, you know, just my second and last question. On the labor front, you know, I have tracked, you know, a couple of sectors very closely in chemicals. You know, the similar thing from China to India played out in 2014 and is still playing out. But if you talk about, you know, garment, as you rightly pointed out, you know, availability of labor is not an issue even in India in low-cost destinations. But when we talk about skilled labor, which is required for this sector, so what exactly, you know, we as a company or maybe India as a destination is doing, you know, to tackle that bigger challenge, you know, in terms of skilling the labor for this garment manufacturing in India? That will be really helpful, sir.
So you know, currently we are doing all the training for the people before onboarding them. So they go through anywhere between, depending on their prior skill sets, they go through a training which lasts anywhere between 21 and 35 days. And then they are put on the floor and then pulled out for time to time for refresher courses for the first 6 to 9 months before they are fully proficient. So that's the internal training house which is working to bring people up to speed. This is what is happening. There is no external driven training centers which are of repute, which can bring in a large number of people on board as yet. So we are dealing with local labor wherever we go, and you know, ourselves fronting the training and onboarding of people. So we tend to create the training infrastructure when we build the factories also.
So can we expect these sort of training institutes in abundance in India? Because, you know, if we hear the government, they are talking about all these things. But the principal or the important question is, you know, availability of this labor for the sector. So since you are very much connected to the, you know, machinery also, so can we expect these sort of developments in the near term, you know, which can have the answer to this question?
So you know, the government provides a lot of training related incentives and all of that. The issue is that, you know, training has to happen in and around where the factories are, because that is where the labor is. We tend to prefer labor from the area where we put up our factories. You know, creating training infrastructure all over the country and expecting people to migrate to factories may or may not happen. So then that becomes a wasted training. So there are a lot of other practical challenges when you look at some of these, you know, standalone training institutes and all of that. That's the reason why more and more training happens closer to the factory. Also, the standards are very different for different players, and that also means how we architect our training becomes different. So there are a lot of practical complications on this, and this is an evolving area.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshay Chheda from Canara Robeco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, thank you for the opportunity. So my one question was on this container availability. Like in past, there was a lot of disruption related to the container availability, and even the freight costs were skyrocketing. So now what is the situation and how you see it going forward?
So this problem continues. Container availability is again a challenge, and freight costs are going up. We don't bear outbound freight costs, as it is in the scope of our customers. Our scope ends when we deliver the goods to our customers at the port to the CNFA agent. Having said that, inbound container cost is something which we bear. And more importantly, availability of containers, this is a continuing problem at the moment.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind Kothari from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Wanted to inquire that the kind of model we have, do we also do the product development for our clients, or we just execute the order? And also players like PDS Multinational, who do, you know, in the fast fashion, they are gaining traction due to maybe designing the whole thing fast and shipping it. We made via Bangladesh and maybe other geographies. Do we have such players on board, and how we are addressing the fast fashion segment in that sense?
Okay, so we do a lot of product development and work with our customers. So our customers are of different capability levels. So there are extreme fashion oriented customers who can do all the product development themselves, but even there we bring in the manufacturing expertise and do tweaks which enable us to keep the styling largely intact and yet make it easier to manufacture. So our value addition becomes important. And there are customers, for example, a customer like a Walmart or somebody like that, where they may not be a fast fashion customer, but they also want a lot of advice on how do we, what products, product development, etc., where we could add value to them. So it's a combination of all of this. Having said that, we are doing more and more product development for our customers, and that's a trend that is continuing. And we have a fairly big design team, a very capable design team with Niftians, with whom we are working on to continue to strengthen this area. As regards using buying houses, we have taken a policy not to really rely much on buying houses, and we work directly with end customers. As a large supplier, we directly interact with the end customer and service their needs. We don't interact or we don't go through buying houses.
Okay. And another problem, maybe few people were highlighting that in Bangladesh there's an audit issue which in a way was neglected for a long period of time now. But post the pandemic, a lot of these questions have been flaring up, and whether that is benefiting the Indian players in any fashion, and that is the reason why we're getting more orders, as you were alluding to?
No. That is not the case. So if there are audit-related issues, people are given time to also address the audit-related issues. And these are ongoing things. We are getting good orders primarily because we are executing very well. We are consolidating the supplier base, and we are also taking orders which were, in the past being run out of China and all of that. Bangladesh continues to largely focus on the European market as they get FTA into Europe, while we focus largely to the US market. So to that extent, there is a little low level of overlap between ourselves and Bangladesh, even though for specific orders and specific customers, we do compete. Audit-related issues are not really that super critical, and if there are, then I'm sure the Bangladeshis will have the capability to handle it.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhilasha Satale from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask about the PLI scheme. There is a PLI scheme which is talked about talked for the textile segment. So is there any update? What kind of scheme will it be? When is it likely to get announced? And whether we will participate in that scheme?
So I can't tell you when it will be announced because it is in the hands of the government of India, and they are working on it. There was a lot of suggestions which the industry had, which the industry conveyed to the government, and they are actively working on it. The government is quite intent on bringing in a PLI scheme to give a further boost to the textile industry. And as and when it comes, we intend taking, leveraging it to the extent that we could. So we are keenly awaiting the PLI scheme. We are keen to look at all the contours of what the PLI scheme offers us. And we would like to take benefit out of it as well.
Okay. And my second question is, as you rightly said, that the yarn prices have gone up sharply and fabric prices have not gone up in that tandem. But that is mainly because of the, domestic demand has been lackluster. As domestic demand improves over a period of time, there is a possibility that, the sharp yarn price increase will get passed on to the fabric also. So when we are guiding for this kind of margins, we have taken that into account, right?
So there are these kind of seasonal volatility, and even if you look at cotton prices, have not gone up as sharply as the yarn prices. So yarn industry has been enjoying a good margin for the time being, and these seasonalities do tend to move with time. I don't foresee too much of a problem from a raw material pricing standpoint. as I said, you know, we would like to pass it through to our customers to the extent possible.
Okay. Yeah. And just the last question, if I could squeeze in, that is again on the macro scheme. We have seen China losing market share and it will be gradual from here on. But the large benefit has gone again to Bangladesh and the Vietnam kind of countries. So has anything changed for India from this point onwards, which is, you know, giving us visibility that India will gain market share going forward or US, Europe market, apart from this GSP issue of Pakistan? So what has changed currently? Because, you know, that in the China losing market share has been, you know, it has been there since a long time. Yeah.
So you know, all of these take time to reach a critical mass. And as, China's fallen market share initially, the first flush was absorbed by Vietnam. And then Cambodia as well, as many Chinese players themselves went and set up shop in these two countries. Bangladesh always had a twin advantage of lower labor cost and duty-free access to European market. So these were the low-hanging fruits which have been taken first, and then subsequently more will come to India. But it really doesn't matter whether India benefits substantially or India benefits, you know, somewhat. People, specific operators within India can take more advantage rather than India as a whole. And that's what would happen. And we, people like Gokuldas, people, other good, strong operators would definitely benefit much more than, say, the country as a whole, as we are, we are better quality suppliers in the country.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bharat Chhoda from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. I had a question regarding our revenues for FY22. Like, despite Q1 being weak, do you think we'll be able to surpass FY20 levels in FY22?
I think so, yes.
Okay, and for FY23, could we be working with around 1,800 crores of revenue with the additional capex that you have said?
So you know, the additional capex will definitely give the kind of revenue that expected out of those additional capex. You know, these are all dynamic. We will try our best to get to those numbers. We are working as aggressively as possible to deliver those numbers.
And sir, one more thing, like after capex of 120 crore, how much is the Tumkur capex is also included in 120 crores? And what is the quantum?
That is correct. And Tumkur capex is 15 crores.
Okay, sir. Thanks for answering my questions. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sunil Kothari from Unique Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, just one clarification. I think our fixed deposit in the bank is roughly 145-150 crore, and we were trying very hard to encase those, and there was some issue related to some old factory and all. So where is the progress and what's your feel? When will be able to encase those bank deposits?
Yeah, we are in advanced stage of completing that exercise. We got the sanctions from some of the leading private banks. We intend to complete this, to initiate the exercise in this quarter. We are hopeful that we'll be able to complete in this financial year itself.
Okay, and that will benefit, in a very significant manner, because our deposit, our return on deposit will be very low, and we are paying very high interest rate, I think.
Obviously, yes.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Wish you good luck, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is a follow-up from the line of Gunjan Kabra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you so much, but my question got answered. I had a question regarding capex. It got answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand over the conference to the management for closing remarks. Over to you.
Thank you so much. We are working hard to make sure that we address the opportunity that is available to the company. We are also working hard to make sure that the company's core capabilities are continuously improved and we are able to tackle the best opportunities that come our way. I'm confident of the industry and the opportunity in the industry, and I'm confident that Gokaldas Exports is well placed to take advantage of that. Thank you. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you very much, members of management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Gokaldas Exports, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.